Parshas Vayetze portrays Yaakov's flight. Running away, fleeing from his murderous brother, being stalked, chased, betrayed, penniless and alone, he arrives at Har HaMoria, the site of his father and grandfather's heroic moment of Akedas Yitzchak. Unbeknownst to him, Achen lo yadati, ein ze ki em beis Elokim, v'zeh shar HaShemayim. He experiences this famous, renowned apparition, the dream of the ladder, a ladder which has become so iconic, so culturally powerful, in so many different cultures, for so many different people, bridging heaven and earth, human aspiration, desire, reaching out for redemption and salvation from above. And after the dream, Yaakov gathers the stone, Evan Azos, as I'll say, was the stone under which he slept, the stone of many stones, stones that had conglomerated miraculously into one stone, informing or instilling Yaakov with a quiet confidence that all the division and strife, the competition and confrontation which he had lived with and lived through with his brother, that his father had lived through with Yishmael, his brother, all the selection would soon end, that all of his children, Yaakov's children, would be Zera Kodesh, Zera Nivchar, Shifteya. Wouldn't it be easy? Never is, to unify differing strands. But Yaakov had that quiet confidence through the conglomeration and unifying of those stones. As Chazal say, the stones became one. The stone serves as a matzeva. Ve'even azos asher samti matzeva yu beis Elokim. Chol asher titen li. Aser. Asrenu lach. Yaakov establishes a place to which he returns. Really one of the only members of the Avos to return to the same place of Tfilah of Avodah. Avram proselytized, travel, Vayikra Shem Hashem Hashem, very nomadic. Yaakov, in the process of establishing a makom kavua, consistency, permanence, the transformation, the process of the Avos is becoming more stable, more inherent. He also uses this rock, this matzeva, as a landing post and as a point to which he returns. Life will become very complicated for Yaakov. He's alone now. He's lonely. He's penniless. But at least he's a visionary. He dreams. Dreams of angels. Dreams of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav vayomar, issuing commands, escorting him, promising him, instilling him with confidence. In the middle of the parsha, we witness a very different dream of Yaakov. Yaakov no longer dreams of angels, but he dreams of sheep, and sticks, and watering wells. Life has changed not so suddenly on Yaakov. He's a man, many wives, a family member, children, finances, shepherding, herding, relatives, loved ones, community. All that vision, all that idealism, those thoughts of angels have been replaced by thoughts of sheep. And he may not be so eager necessarily to return to Beit El. It's not as simple. Life isn't as simple as it once was when he was on his own by his lonesome. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to him and encourages him, almost commands him, return, don't get stuck. Don't get caught in the inertia, in the complexity, in all the difficulty of daily life, and forget your plans, your dreams, your visions. And Achi Hakel Beit El, Hashem tells him, I'm the God that you met, that you encountered on Beit El. Asher Mashachta Sham Matzeva, remember your Matzeva, the Evan. Asher Nadarta Lisham, you promised to return. Stick by your earlier promises. Very often in life we make promises to ourselves. We make commitments to ourselves. But how often do we actually execute and fulfill those commitments? Particularly when life changes and those commitments no longer seem so compelling, no longer seem so obvious and certainly are no longer that easy to fulfill. Sometimes we abandon our commitments because they're difficult and entail a struggle. Sometimes we abandon them because they just no longer seem right. A person has to have the courage to execute commitments and to overcome each obstacle. Sometimes we're just lazy. We're weak. We don't have the conviction. We don't possess the energy. Yaakov Avinu was a man of energy, man of work ethic. He worked 7 years for one wife, 7 years for another wife. Removed stones from the top of wells that others couldn't. Yaakov has great vigor, great workforce, great work ethic. Sometimes we don't fulfill our commitments, not because we're too lazy or inert or lackadaisical or don't possess the energy, but simply because at this point I'm not so sure those commitments are so wise and so virtuous. Sometimes you have to trust who you were in the past. You have to trust the person you were who made those commitments. Life has that way of creating complexity and conflict and confusion and distraction. Yaakov, stuck in the middle of Paddan Aram, there are plenty of reasons not to return to Israel. Family and wealth and business and responsibility and friends and society. And the way the Pasuk describes it, Yaakov may not have returned. Hashem has to sort of yank him out of Paddan Aram, remind him of the Matseva, remind him of that one symbolic stone standing quietly waiting his return. Ultimately, Yaakov heeds HaKadosh Baruch Hu's call, he listens, and he returns to Beit El. And as he's returning to Beit El, in the end of the Parsha, once again, V'Yaakov halach ledarko, v'yivke ubo malachai Elokim. Once again, he's a man of angels, he's a boy of spirit, he's a person of vision. Same vision with which the Parsha began is all too dominant in the end of the Parsha, because he's returning to that site of his previous epiphany, that site of his revelation, the site of his Gilui Shechina. So that's a very important stone in Parshas Vayetze. Truth is, there's another important stone in Parshas Vayetze. One can say the Parsha is a Parsha of stones. Some of the stones are symbolic. Some of the stones are the type you remove from the cover of a well. The Torah describes the shepherds who gathered to remove the stone, but they couldn't. They would remove it together. They would wait for each other. And they could accomplish through teamwork what individual effort was incapable of performing. Yaakov, upon witnessing Rachel, summons Herculean supernatural energy and removes the stone. Why is the Torah reporting this? Who cares? Just to indicate Yaakov's physical strength, his formidable muscles, the excitement he sensed upon witnessing Rachel. There's a hidden message to this stone removal. Isn't there always? Chazal likened the Yetzer Hara to many different aspects. It's likened to a fly in the ointment. It's likened to, Chazal call it Ra. Chazal have many different names, it's diseases. Tshuva is referred to as Refuah. The Yetzer Hara is Meshabed, a person. It imprisons him in ideas and lifestyles he'd rather not be part of. But one of the comparisons to the Yetzer Hara, Chazal compare Yetzer Hara to a stone. Probably the most well-known association between the Yetzer Hara and a stone is the Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah Nun Beis informs us that Yeshaya deemed the Yetzer Hara Michshol. Of course, the pasuk Solu Panu Derech Harimu Michshol Miderech Ami. A well-known pasuk in the beginning of Hosea, the beginning of Perek Yudalit of Hosea, which we read in Shabbos Tshuva. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Return to Hashem. Ki chashalta. You fell. You stumbled. The Gemara in Sukkah Nun Beis continues, Yechezkel Karu Evan. Yechezkel referred to the Yetzer Hara as a stone. Shenemar v'hasirosi es leif ha'evan mi b'sarchem. V'nasati lachem leiv basar. I will remove your stone-heartedness and replace it with a heart of flesh and a heart of feeling and sensitivity. Why is the Yetzirah likened to a stone? Well, first of all, this is the obvious reading of that pasuk in Yechezkel, the difference between a leiv ha'evan and a leiv ha'basar. Stone-hearted, cold-hearted, insensate, callous, unfeeling, unfeeling towards others, unable to identify with their misery and suffering and respond to it. But a greater danger of insensitivity to yourself, to religion. Some people struggle with religion, fail with religion, feel guilt, feel. Some people just check out, anesthetize, dull their senses, dope themselves existentially. Escapist. Don't think about issues. They don't want to think about issues because they know the conclusions will be compelling and will be frightening. Unfeeling, disinterested, turned off or tuned off, as we said. So it's important to be a compassionate, sympathetic person towards others because then you train your heart to feel, and hopefully you'll feel your own instincts about religion and future responsibility. There's another reason that the Yetzirah is likened to an evan. Sometimes we just fail to perform our duties, our responsibilities, religious opportunities because we're heavy. Life is heavy. Our bodies are heavy. Our minds, our hearts are weighed down. A stone doesn't possess any internal or inherent heaviness. Gravity exerts its force, and the stone is lifeless, doesn't possess the energy to counter gravity. Stone is a domain. Stone isn't heavy. It's gravity, which creates that heaviness. And a stone, unlike a human being, unlike an animal, unlike a fish, unlike even plants, doesn't possess life force, vitality, or initiative, any energy whatsoever, to counteract the impact of gravity. So a stone becomes anchored. Stone becomes parked on the ground or the surface upon which it was placed. Very often our chataim are a product of listlessness, lack of energy, lack of vigor, lack of defiance. We just follow the least energetic course. It's called entropy. We move to the position of least exertion of energy. We don't have the willpower, courage, the interest to defy our surroundings, to defy our laziness, to take it. We know things are right, but we procrastinate. Procrastination sometimes is a psychological situation. Sometimes it's just fear and disinterest of starting projects and performing commitments. So the association between a stone and Yetzirah is also meant to highlight certain dimension of our struggle with the Yetzirah. And Yaakov removes the stone. And by removing the stone from the well, he's struggling and he battles with his Yetzirah, as each of the Avos did. But what's more interesting in some ways than Yaakov and the incredible energy he displays in removing that stone is the fact that the shepherds know that despite their lack of personal strength, if they waited for one another, then maybe they could remove the stone together. The Torah writes that these shepherds would wait every afternoon. They would gather together and they would remove the stone together. Common effort allowed them to accomplish what they couldn't accomplish individually. Vayomer, they used to say, Parachavtes, Pasiches, Lonuchal, Adesha Yasru, Kal Adarim. Till all the shepherds and all the herds and all the flocks gather, v'galalu ha'evan m'alpi ha'be'er, together we can remove the stone, v'shkinu ha'tzon. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need assistance. Sometimes you can't battle the Yetzirah alone. You need guidance from a Rebbe. You need inspiration from an older fellow. If you look to your parents, do you feel they can help you? You need friends. Reinforce your avodas Hashem, reinforce your commitment to Torah, You can't go it alone. Maybe a Yaakov can. Maybe a person of Yaakov's achievements, Yaakov's accomplishments, can go it alone, can remove the stone. Most people can't. Most people have to wait for others. Part of Hatzlacha and success in Avodas Hashem is recognizing that you need others and allowing yourself to be helped by others. So Parshas Vayetze is a story of two stones. The Matseva, the point of clarity that beckons Yaakov to return from a life of distraction and conflict and complexity. And the stone in Padan Aram, which Yaakov removes single-handedly, but a stone which even if you're not a Yaakov, you can find ways to remove through teamwork, reliance upon others. Shabbat Shalom.